Hey, you guys, guess what? Pain don't hurt.
Yeah, subscriber sent us this.
Yes, thank you very much, Joseph E., for sending us this timeless classic of American 80s cinema.
Yeah. Roadhouse. This is up there with Bloodsport. I'm looking for a copy of Bloodsport. Problem is that the Blu-rays are only from England, man. They want like $20 for a Bloodsport Blu-ray.
That's not that bad for a Blu-ray, though.
Yeah, but I don't know if I want to see Bloodsport that badly.
You don't want to see it that badly.
I don't want to see it that badly. I've never seen it, but I've been, you know, studying about it.
I think I saw it, but
Frank
it
Dux, who's about the guy, you know, who's a fake martial artist. But yeah, this movie kind of reminds me of one of those old fake martial arts movies in a way.
This movie?
Yeah.
Fucking Roadhouse. Okay, yeah. So for those of you that know, like those of you that are regular listeners of the show, well, know I'm a huge Mystery Science Theater fan. You will also know that Mike Nelson, the head writer for many years on Mystery Science Theater and now of Riff Tracks, was a huge, huge fan of Roadhouse. They made so many references to it, and they even wrote an original Christmas song on one of their Christmas episodes that was called Let's Have a Patrick Swayze Christmas. And it is delightful. It's delightful.
Damn, I'll tell you what. This is just a weird... seeing the movie, it was an enjoyable movie to watch. It was very kind of nostalgic. It was bringing that era back to me, you know. But I just was just kind of amazed at how they tried to take this premise and sell it to a mainstream audience.
Yeah.
And I guess it worked.
It worked. It didn't do very well in the theater, but it did really well on VHS, like when it came out later on VHS, and then it has subsequently developed a humongous cult following, so I'm sure it's probably made its money back at this point.
It's about this skinny, scrawny guy who's supposed to be, I guess, the best fighter in the world.
Well, he's kind of muscly. He's not scrawny.
No, he's not. He's scrawny. All right. I mean, there's not a lot of mass there. He's tall, but still, there's just not a lot of mass there to do what it is he's supposed to be doing. And his job is supposed to be the best bouncer in the world. He knows how to clear out any kind of bar and clean up bars and train your bouncing staff, which that part I thought was...
Bouncing staff.
Your bouncing staff. I thought that part was kind of realistic, that really a really good bouncer would learn how to train other bouncers. Really.
Roadhouse and realistic are two things that I never thought that I would hear in the same sentence.
But on top of all this, wasn't he a convict too?
He
killed somebody by
accident. Yeah, he had killed somebody, but he got off because he said it was self-defense.
Okay, all right. Now he's got that under his belt. And then on top of that, he's a fucking intellectual.
Yeah.
He's an intellectual. Even doctor women love him. As a doctor. You know,
everybody loves Patrick Swayze in this movie.
Yeah, it's just got so many tropes. What year did this come out?
1989.
89. Okay. I thought it might have been a little bit later. I thought it was like 91. But no, it's got late 80s tropes just throughout this fucker.
Honestly, even though it didn't come out until the last year of the 80s, this is like the entire 80s distilled into its purest cinematic form. Everything 80s is in this movie.
Yeah.
It's like there's like corrupt businessmen are the bad guys.
Yeah.
There's like fucking bar fights. There's tits.
Yeah.
There's lots of tits and lots of sex.
Nothing wrong with that.
Violence. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Yeah. There are copiously, like, everyone's got a mullet.
Yeah.
everyone's got a mullet.
All the crowds are just people, stereotypes that come straight out of central casting for white people in bars.
Yeah.
It's exactly what.
Also, a lot of homoeroticism.
Yeah, that's right. There was
more than Top Gun. I'm gonna say, although that's a pretty close call.
it wasn't obvious in the day, but you look at it now and you go, man, that's gay.
A lot of it wasn't. Well, I think that's a lot of people didn't really get that.
They didn't get it.
When they saw Top Gun in the 80s either. Everybody was just like, oh, it was this macho bro movie. When you say it now, you see it now, you're like, oh my God.
All you had to do is just change the soundtrack or just change the score in certain areas and you could turn that into a gay movie. Yeah. You could.
Easily. Yeah, and easily. I'm sure someone's done it. Go check on YouTube and see if someone's done a fan edit. Sure. I'm sure there's more than one.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the entire premise behind this movie, and it's like I said, and I love that, like, Roger Ebert, who reviewed this, I read his review of it, and it's actually very funny, because you can tell that he didn't really want to recommend it, because he thought it was a bad movie, and yet he still really liked it. Yeah. And he was like, he's like, I'm going to say that he's like, all the comedies that he saw the same week that this came out, he's like, I didn't laugh as much at those comedies as I did at this movie.
It's entertaining.
Well, because it just decided, and I'm not sure like how self-aware it was at the time, but I guess it just decided to go, because the premise is ridiculous. The stuff that happens in it is ridiculous, but it leans into it in a way that is just like wildly entertaining to watch.
I guess it leans into it. It could be that's just how we're interpreting it. It could be that the directors actually thought this shit
was cool.
It was cool, and that it was realistic. It's you know what it's like? It's actually like you take the entire Dukes of Hazzard series and condense it down into a movie. It's kind of like that. But then you take Patrick Swayze, who was in this era kind of like a romantic character.
Yeah, he had just been in Dirty Dancing a couple years before this.
And then you force him into the action role, into the role of an action hero. And he kind of pulls it off, but not really, if you ask me. I mean, he just does not come across as a tough and intimidating fighter.
Well, I guess that's why it almost kind of seems like, in some reviews I read of this, and I guess I didn't realize it when I was watching it, but they said the structure of the movie is very much like either like a Western or like one of those old like Ronin type of movies.
Also like a kung fu movie.
Yeah, where like somebody comes into town and it's like clears out the corruption and, you know, fights for the common man and stuff like that. So it's very similar kind of. So it's not like coming out of left field, you know what I mean?
It's, if you ask me, I mean, marketing wise, I think it was miscast. All right. I think it probably would have made the movie would have made a lot more sense if this was Sylvester Stallone playing that role.
Would it though? I don't know if he could have pulled off. I don't know.
Or maybe Arnold. I don't know. Not Arnold.
No, definitely not Arnold.
Because he couldn't be in a Western bar. It would have to be Sylvester Stallone, I think.
Yeah, well, maybe, because he can pull, because he's like a big beefy dude, but he could also pull off like being a smart guy, because he is like a smart guy. He's a writer and stuff.
Yeah, he's an intelligent guy.
Yeah, so.
Oh, he's not really big, though. He's kind of medium-ish size.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, big in relation to.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing
he's
about.
He's got mass on him.
I mean, the Patrick Swayze, he's thin. He's a dancer.
Yeah, and he looks like a dancer in this, if you ask me. He looks like a dancer.
I mean, he's in good shape,
Yeah, he's in good shape. He looks like a dancer who hit the gym. You know, he's dead now. You know, I can't believe the guy died as young as he did, but.
Yeah, cancer, man. That's a bitch.
Yeah, it got him. And back in those days, I guess they couldn't cure whatever kind of cancer it was that he had. But I remember when he died, it surprised me. I'm like, that dude died?
Yeah, he was quite young.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how
it's. But he looks like he took a dancer, like a ballet dancer, and he went into the gym and bulked up, put about 5 pounds, maybe an extra five pounds on him. He doesn't look bad, you know. I would say probably, I'd even say that he was probably in better shape than Krussel from Escape from New York.
He seemed a bit bigger than Krussel. Yeah. I mean, I'd have to see them like next to each other.
Yeah.
Like during that time period.
Krussel didn't was a sneaky though. Snake Plissken was kind of a sneaky guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, his thing was really not so much like having to be like, you know, hand-to-hand combat type of shit.
Driving cars and climbing and jumping through windows and doing shit like that. Talking like Clint Eastwood and, you know, shooting people with a Mac-10 and crashing cars into shit.
Yeah.
That was Snake.
Whereas this one, and like I said, I feel like this happened in a lot of movies in the 80s. And as I said, I have to point out that the director of Roadhouse was actually named Rowdy. Rowdy Harrington was the guy that directed this movie. Yeah. That's how fucking 80s this movie is. Even the director is named Rowdy.
This movie, I think, kind of inspired a bunch of copies that movies that centered around bars. Like, remember Coyote Ugly?
And
it's like a string of these that were like saloon movies, because I guess they figured, well, a lot of people were hanging out in bars. Maybe they'd be able to relate to a bar movie.
Yeah.
You know?
This kind of, it reminds me of
Tom
like.
Tom Cruise did a bar movie.
He did, Cocktail.
Cocktail, yeah. But that was like a yuppie bar.
Yeah, and it was like, wasn't it in like Hawaii or some shit? It was like, it wasn't even an indoor bar, I don't think. I don't know, it's been a long time since I've seen that movie. I had a feeling it was like out on the beach or something, but I could be remembering it wrong. But the thing about this one, and I think that happens with a lot of 80s movies, and as I said, I'm not sure that in the 80s, the people that were making these movies were entirely serious. I have a hard time believing that they were entirely serious with this, because, okay, the whole premise of the movie is that Patrick Swayze is lured from New York City, where he is a quote-unquote cooler, which is like a alpha bouncer, like I guess some kind of Uber bouncer, like he's over all the other bouncers, and he has to chill everyone out.
And if you know bouncers, man, he just doesn't look the part, but...
Well, like yeah. I said, that's why they gave him that whole philosophical
yeah.
Ronin sort of angle, where he's yeah. like kind of anti-violence, unless yeah. he absolutely has to.
Yeah.
I think the whole point of his character was that he was, like, struggling, because when they kind of referred to him killing that dude before by reportedly ripping his throat out with his bare hands, which he yeah. does, actually, in this movie, spoiler yeah. alert, later on in the movie. But I think what they were getting at was that he was struggling with the violence within himself. Like, he didn't want to be like that.
Yeah.
And he was, like, trying to temper it with, like, this philosophical zen kind of
yeah.
attitude. Yeah. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. I don't think they were trying to do that.
I think it was supposed. He was supposed to be a character that tough guys in the audience could like, but that he was also a sex symbol for the women in the audience.
Yeah, and like
so I think that's what they were trying.
Like
to do.
One review that I read said in this movie he's yeah. like the perfect man.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean. But it's like he won't get into a fight like just for stupid reasons.
But he can whip your ass.
But if he has to, he will yeah. whip someone's ass and yeah. rip someone's throat out.
You can
like
have
you
a
do.
You can have a beer with him in the honky tonk bar. But then if you're a female doctor, you date him. It's
yeah because he's like because
to...
he's like tough and smart
yeah.
and sensitive and
yeah.
shit too. So
but he's
like
broke,
I said, he's like the perfect man.
But he's broke.
Well, he's not because no, check it out. Because like I said, he was lured from a bar in New York City
yeah.
where he was apparently a cooler that was so. Well, that everybody like already knows who the fucking guy
yeah, legendary is. Legendary bouncer, yeah.
which I've never heard of that ever.
No,
but okay,
no, no, no.
That's what I mean. That's why this movie is like the premise is ridiculous, and yeah. I love it. So it's like so everybody in the country, even the like goons that hang out in this bar in like buttfuck Missouri,
yeah, they know who
this famous fucking bouncer
yeah.
is, and he's actually on the second most famous because Wade, his buddy, who's played by the fucking always awesome Sam Elliott, and I love him in this movie, and also you get to see his pubes if you ever wanted to do that.
Yeah,
but there was one part where he was showing a scar, remember? And like he kind of like, and I was like, "Whoa,
yeah.
that was more of Sam."
I didn't
Elliot
really notice it. I'm a man. I'm not looking for that.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss it. It was
yeah.
like right there in the middle of the frame. He didn't show like you couldn't see his balls or nothing,
yeah.
but it's just you know, the happy trail, as they would call it.
Yeah, nasty. The way you put shit.
I'm sorry. Okay. But yeah, so he gets lured from New York City by this guy who owns this honky-tonk bar in, as I said, this fucking nowhere town in Missouri that seems to only have a bar, an auto parts store, a hospital, and maybe a couple of houses. And
yeah.
that's about it.
But it's got this fantastic honky-tonk bar.
Yeah, called the Double Deuce, or as I like to affectionately refer to it, the Two Poops.
Damn. Taking two turns.
That's what I decided I was going to call it. So
yeah,
he goes,
it's run by Boss Hogg, basically. The
yeah.
town is run by a Boss Hogg type figure.
Yeah, who's played by Ben Gazzara.
Beating on his woman.
Yeah, who's like the quintessential like evil
yeah.
businessman. Even though, I mean, really, his whole shtick is that, one, he does shit just to be like a petty like ass handle. It's like he'll get in
yeah.
his fucking helicopter and... you know, fly around and, like, scare all his neighbor's horses just because he's a dick. You know what I mean? Like, there's no reason for doing that, really. He just does it because he's so evil. You know what I mean?
He gets the hottest woman in town and then just beats her up.
And then just
time.
Punches her in the face and tells her to turn off her crappy
yeah.
80s music.
Yeah.
Turn that shit off!
Yeah. Yeah, she's, like, 30 years younger than him.
Now, something that I didn't catch, because I've seen this two or three times, something that I didn't catch the first time around is that Doc, the doctor lady, who's played by Kelly Lynch, was actually supposed to be the villain's ex-wife or ex-girlfriend.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, see, I didn't catch that until, like, the second or third time I watched it.
Okay.
Because I was just, like, so...
I didn't realize that.
Because I was just so blindsided by all the bar fighting and the titties and
yeah.
and every and the mullets and everything.
Yeah.
So it's like I wasn't even like listening to the dialogue, I guess.
Yeah, and as far as fight scenes, I mean these are not fantastic fight scenes, you know, that are super well choreographed even for the day. They're just kind of generic fights if you ask me. It's not that kind of an action movie.
I would not call it an action movie at all.
But it's coming at you like this is going to be an action movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it never really quite happens. But for some weird reason, it doesn't happen and you don't care. You continue to watch
yeah.
it. I don't really know why. I did like the movie.
I do too.
I like the movie. It's but I'm kind of mad at it that I like it because
he's mad at this
movie. Fucking dumb, you know. It's fucking dumb.
Well, that's why everybody loves it though, yeah. Because it's just so dumb and ridiculous.
Like, what is this?
And yeah. Over the top, dude. Somebody drives a fucking literal monster truck through a car dealership and crushes several station wagons. It's like, and the bar fights in this, like one review I read of it, it's like this line cracked me up. They said this movie is like one third of this movie is bar fights. It might be more than that, actually.
Yeah.
But there's the double deuce at the beginning. It's just like one of those places. And I think these kind of bars, like, because I grew up in Daytona Beach, which is like full of biker bars and stuff. And it's like, this is one of those bars that only exists in the movie universe. Yeah. Because if you really owned a bar where this kind of shit went on, you would lose your ass in, like, inside of a month.
Nobody would go.
Well, one, nobody would go. And two, you would spend so much money
repairing all the damage.
Because the first bar fight that you see in there, pretty much everybody gets involved in the bar fight. All the furniture is broken. All the glassware is broken. Several people appear to be murdered. And it's like, so it's just like this crazy. The cops never come, I guess, because the guy, like the evil corporate guy that owns the town.
Yeah.
It's like, what? He's like, makes such a big deal about, like, owning this town. I'm like, this town that probably has, like, 50 fucking people, and I'm like, ooh, big man.
And maybe it has two cops, a night cop and a day cop.
Right. That's like, this is Missouri we're talking about, for fuck's sake. But yeah, you go in there, it's like, there's just this ridiculous, ridiculous shit going on in this bar. It's like, the fucking waitresses are selling coke out of the bathroom.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like,
big city problems. That's funny, because it's got 50 people on town, but it's like a big city problem.
And every single one of them goes to this bar and gets in a fight and kills someone else and no one does anything about it and it's like, you know what I mean, it's just like so funny and it's just like one of my favorite scenes in this. I don't remember if it was like the first bar fight scene or the second bar fight scene, there were so many, but there was that whole scene where like the two guys are sitting at the table and then like the one like playmate of the year or whatever she was, and then like the guy who was presumably her husband or boyfriend or pimp or whatever he was, and he offers the other guy, he says, you can touch her tits or kiss her tits for $20.
Then
the guy just reaches over and starts groping, and then he's like, hey man, what the fuck, and he's like, I don't have $20. So it's like, look, he just got a fucking freebie, and like everybody seems like totally fine with this, like it was like, okay,
it's all kinds of shit that doesn't happen
that's
in bars.
I mean. And like I said, if this
and another thing
really...
that's funny is that a little honky tonk bar out in the middle of nowhere, you know, that's experiencing all this would not have women that look that good in them.
Because
these women are actually, you can immediately tell that they're Hollywood starlets and that they're, you know, strippers and shit like that, and that these girls really need to be somewhere like on, you know, Sunset Strip or something, you know, making money.
Right.
But they're not going to be in a little town like that. You know, you go to a little honky tonk, man, there's really nobody under 50 in there.
Yeah, it's like, it's older people.
It's older people, yeah.
And like I said, it's like older, like, biker types and shit like that.
If there's a young woman in there and she's a crackhead,
Or a hooker.
That's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
That's
Some
what I mean.
Crackhead. She didn't have any teeth, you know.
So, like, that's what I mean. That's what's so fucking funny about this whole movie is, like, the whole bar thing is just, like, fucking cracks me up so much. So, like, Patrick Swayze, you know, world famous cooler bouncer, is brought to this bar to clean it up because apparently the guy that owns it wants to, like, you know, fancy it up or make it a classier joint in this tiny little town. It's like, who the fuck is going to come there? I don't know. But, So all that happens. Now, Patrick Swayze, whose name is Dalton, they don't say if that's his first name or his last name. That's the only thing he's ever referred to in the movie.
Matter.
But he successfully, he punches John Doe from X, who plays the bartender. I think he's the bartender, one of the bartenders. He actually punches him in the face. And if you will notice, if you watch the movie in slow motion, John Doe's nose is already bloody before Patrick Swayze hits it. So, you know what I mean? That's like some cool, like, punching right there. It's like, you don't even have to, like, it's just like, it goes out ahead, like, in a force before the fucking fist even gets there and gives you a bloody nose.
It's from the other takes.
Yeah, probably. It's like, oh, so we forgot to take it. Yeah, because they edited it the way they edited it. But yeah. So, it's like, so he meets the doctor lady when he has to go to the hospital because he gets stabbed at some point during one of the bar fights. And, you know, he stitched up one of his own wounds earlier.
Yeah.
Like I said.
To show what a badass he is.
And he's just like, no, he's all stoic about it. Like, here we go again, you know. Because, you know, that shit happens all the time.
Yeah.
And then he ends up at the hospital.
And what's funny is you don't have to do that. I'm even more hardcore than that. That one right there, I just do it with tape.
Or you could just glue it.
Yeah, glue it with super glue.
Super glue works for that, you guys. Pro tip.
I just use duct tape.
In fact, isn't that... I've heard that that's what super glue was originally developed for.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Closing wounds.
Closing up wounds.
Right? Like, quickly. Probably. I thought.
Why not?
And it does work.
Sure.
I mean, anything that closes it up so it doesn't get
infected. Yeah, just hold it together and drop some super glue on top of it.
I mean, I did that like one time because, you know, as in my career as a graphic designer, back in the old days before everything was computerized, when we used to actually have to cut like pieces and cut lengths of type and stuff like that, because I used to work for a newspaper. And one time, one morning, I guess I wasn't fully awake yet, so I cut off the slice off the tip of my index finger with a X-Acto knife.
When I was a little kid.
And I had to glue it back on.
when I was a little kid, I was like maybe like 5 or 6 or something. I don't remember exactly how old it was. I had to ask my mom. I got some super glue in my eye.
Oh.
They had to take me to the emergency room.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the doctor went, oh, you got super glue in his eye? Come over here. And he just dropped something in my eye out of a eyedropper, and it immediately dissolved it, went away.
Huh.
They already have
shit probably happens all the time.
Yeah. They already have an antidote for that just...
Well, because, you know,
and now it's like instant. It instantly just...
Now I'm curious to know if any of you guys work in an emergency room. I would love to know the statistics on how many dudes get drunk and their friends super glue their dicks to their legs.
What? That happens?
Yes.
I'd beat a motherfucker's ass for doing that.
I'm just saying. I know it's happened more than once because I've heard stories.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, there's that kind of stuff. There's also, like, people putting weird shit up their butts and stuff like that.
What? See, no, you put some shit up in a man's butt, you're going
to... No,
die.
Well, my sister used to work in billing for, like, gastrointestinal clinic.
So slipped and fell.
She used to see all kinds of stuff. She's like, you would not believe the stuff people come in the hospital with up their butts.
Slipped and fell.
I'm like, I would believe it. I'd believe it.
Slipped and fell and landed on that 13-inch damn dildo. I don't know how it got in there.
I remember one case.
You know that motherfucker's going to lie.
I know.
Like that.
Well,
yeah.
I remember one case that happened. Yeah. I think the guy might have been a priest, if I'm remembering correctly. But yeah, he came in with a big dildo up his ass, and he said that he was hanging curtains or changing a light bulb and fell off and landed on a
dick.
I don't know how the dildo got there. Somebody must have just left it. I would never leave a dildo in the middle of the floor that I could fall off while I was hanging the curtains. Whatever.
It's in the perfect position underneath.
Right. Damn. It's like, pro tip, if you have to go to the emergency room with something, just tell the truth. They know that you're lying.
They know you're lying.
And they're going to and if you just tell the truth, they're not going to talk about you and laugh at you with their friends later on.
Or make up a fucking lie. Just say, I had this woman over here, and you know, the next thing you know, she pegged me. I didn't know it was coming. She flipped
That's
me over.
A better story than I fell on it when I was
She flipped me over,
her.
And there it was rape.
Well, that's what I mean. You have to at least come up with something that sounds plausible.
I owed her money.
I mean, look.
She's getting even with me.
Most people use dildos, okay? It's like...
Not me.
This took a turn, didn't
it? Not me. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. So as we were talking about Roadhouse, since we were talking about dildos, I was going to say... This is a rather homoerotic film. There's something for everybody. Like, there's naked ladies. There's no naked dudes, but mostly, if you get to see Patrick Swayze's butt, right? I think his butt's in this. But, you know, there's many, many scenes of him doing Tai Chi without a shirt on and all this kind of shit. So, you know, if you're into that kind of stuff, then, like I said, something for everybody. So maybe it's more of a bisexual movie than a homoerotic movie.
I think you're just reading into it. I think because of who Patrick Swayze was in those days, okay, the audience was going to be at least half women.
Well, yeah, because of Dirty Dancing.
Just because of who he was. So they were just trying to appeal, they were trying to make a movie that would appeal to both men and women.
Yeah.
They were trying to make, and that ends up maybe looking bisexual.
Well, yeah, that's exactly
that's what happened. I don't think they're not trying to make a bisexual movie, though.
No, I'm not saying they were trying to, but I'm just saying they were trying to appeal to everybody. So it's like, you know, so there's some beefcake in there for the ladies.
Yeah, because you know there's love scenes and shit going on, and it's focusing in on the man's ass.
And then there's also like copious
bunch of titties,
copious women's titties. If you're into that kind of thing, so it's like I said, there's something for everybody. Yeah. Also, if you're into mullets, you know, there's some shit there too.
Yeah.
Another funny thing that I have to point out, nothing to do with homoeroticism or anything, but one thing I have to point out, this is the bad guy, Ben Gazzara. One of the reasons that you know that he's a bad guy, I mean, other than the thing with the scaring the horses just to be a douche and everything, is that he has a hunting trophy room.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe every species known to man... Oh, the kitty's moving
Cat's
the camera.
Moving the camera. Why are you moving the camera?
She's trying to, like, poke it off the end of the desk with her nose.
Why are you trying to move the camera?
That's going
to
fall off of there, I think. Stop pushing on it, Pookie. Yeah. She's like, oh, okay. You guys suck. She's doing it.
She's loving it. She's like, no, I'm trying to, trying to push it. Okay.
But yeah, so this guy's trophy room... I think Roger Ebert made the joke that it's like it looks like he went hunting in a zoo because there's like species in there that it's like no normal person would ever hunt. It's just like it's the weirdest thing ever.
There's an Australopithecus.
I was gonna say, there's like a Triceratops. I don't think there is. No. Sasquatch. I don't know. Yeah. It's like there would be all kind of shit in there, and it wouldn't have surprised. Although that would have been really really funny if they had
have
done
been a
that.
Bigfoot in there.
And like they didn't like even focus on it. They just put it there and they didn't say anything about it. Now I'm gonna have to watch the movie again to see if that's actually in there.
It's not in there
because that would be hilarious.
It's just a bunch of African game animals, I think, and just random stuff.
Yeah, and then there was like there's a big polar bear in there too, which actually kind of factors in later on because one of the henchmen, the polar bear falls on him, even though he clearly had ample time to get out of the way. And I think
he had to get the shot, though.
I know. And I think that was even like one of the best one-liners of the film where he said, like, I got crushed by a polar bear fell on me or something like that. It was like really fucking funny. There's so many fucking good lines in this. And I was going to say, and I forgot when we were talking about the homoeroticism, there was the whole part at the end where he was fighting, I think that henchman's name was Jimmy. He was like the main henchman. And during the fight where Patrick Swayze like tears his throat out with his bare hands at the end.
Yeah.
The thing that like he's fighting with this guy and Jimmy gets him up like that, like in front of him. He's like behind him. And then he says, I used to fuck guys like you in prison.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, is that something that you really want to tell everybody?
Yeah, he's trying to scare him. Trying to scare his ass. I'm going to fuck you.
It was just like really funny.
Yeah,
and I think he said something else like before, like, you know, something about his ass.
Yeah, he said something about his ass. I don't know.
And I was like, okay,
it didn't matter
whatever.
To me. I was just kind of laughing at that time.
That's what I mean. It's a hilarious, hilarious movie. It's hilarious. Everything about it is hilarious.
It's entertaining. It's not a good movie.
No, really. I don't think anyone's arguing that.
It's competently shot. All right. It did have a decent score and music. I mean, some of the stunts and it was all competently done. The thing with it is it didn't really commit to any kind of a genre, if you ask me.
Yeah, I'm not sure what genre I would call it. Like, I guess it usually gets classified as an action movie, but it's not really. There's a lot of fights in it, but there's a lot of other stuff going on in there, too. Like I said, it almost seems like... like a Zatoichi movie.
It's like a Zatoichi movie.
Like the plot structure.
You come to town, you meet everybody, you see all this fucked up shit going on. You slowly try to resolve the town's problems, and then you're
while being zen at the same time. Yeah, like you'll kick ass if you need to, but you would rather not need to.
It's like a Lone Samurai movie.
Yeah, it's definitely like that. Which I didn't really think about it until I was reading some other reviews of it. I'm like, oh yeah, I guess that is exactly what it's like.
Which is kind of like a Western.
Yeah.
But no gunplay in it. Well, wasn't there some guys with guns? Shoot, I think there might have been some guys.
Well, yeah, at the end.
At the very end, yeah.
Oh, and I have to say, too, like, when the big businessman gets killed at the end by all the townsfolk, and they just, like, blow his ass away, that particular scene was inspired by a real-life murder case, which I wrote about in Faceless Villain 3, which is coming out soon. The murder of Ken McElroy, which happened, it's also happened in Missouri, Skidmore, Missouri. And he was this guy, it happened in 1981. And he was this total fucking douche nozzle who lived in this little town. And he just like bullied everybody. Like he didn't own anything or nothing, I don't think. He was just like some criminal. But he just like bullied everybody and he could do whatever he wanted because like if anybody tried to arrest him or anybody tried to like testify against him, he would kill you or beat the shit out of you. So he never got arrested for anything. So finally like 40-50 people in this little town were like, we're gonna fucking take care of that dude. And he was at the bar, he goes out, it's broad daylight, middle of the afternoon, there's like 60 people standing on the street and they just opened fire and killed his ass. And then like when the police came, they were all like, didn't see nothing.
Yeah.
And they're still unsolved. They still don't know who shot that guy. Hmm. I mean, they have suspicions because there weren't that many people in that town.
Yeah.
But no one, everybody just stayed totally tight-lipped because everybody hated that dude so much.
Yeah.
And he was just like fucking over. I mean, he had killed people and didn't get, you know, caught for it. So that case, Ken McElroy, that was what that last scene where they killed the big bad guy. where everybody shot him, and then the cops came and were like, what happened? Even though there's, like, dead people everywhere. And like,
yeah, we didn't see it.
And they're like, well, I don't know. I don't know what happened. He was dead when we got here, and they're just standing there with shotguns and
now,
shit like
this that. This movie, I think, would have been better if they just went ahead and just committed to making it a male-oriented, male-audience action film. Put Krussell in there, or, you know, Krussell probably would have been better in this movie. And have him
now
do
I'm
kind
of
like,
intrigued to see what that would be like.
You have him do a kind of like a Snake Plissken type character, and get rid of most of the romance, edit a lot of that out, you could probably go with that same soundtrack and just go with more action.
Yeah.
And get rid of or edit the Zen elements of it down, you know, and just make it dumber.
Although if you did
guys
that,
would have liked it more.
If you did that, it would just be more like a generic. I don't think people would remember it nowadays if you did that with
it. I don't
think
they would have remembered it, no. But I think it would have done better at the box office.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It did better later, like I said. But I think the reason people remember it is because of those things that made it different than your regular action movie, and also the fact that it was completely and utterly ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
remember when it came out, though, and people seeing it being amused, but not really liking this movie.
Yeah.
I didn't see it when it came
out. It definitely got a cult following later.
It was later.
I think people began to appreciate it, because when it came out, like I said, it didn't do... I don't think it did terrible, but it didn't do that great at the box office. It got nominated for a bunch of, like, Razzie Awards.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So it was pretty critically panned, but... I think later on, as people began to watch it and could, like, appreciate it as just one of those, like, so bad it's good type of movies.
Well, it improved with age, I think, because you're looking back on it, you're looking back into another era of time.
Yeah, with everyone's ridiculous hair
and
clothes.
Yeah, so that element is helping this movie when you watch it. But at the time, the movie, I remember the reaction was not good to it.
Yeah.
The women didn't like this as much as Dirty Dancing. That was all... just full-blown.
Well, that was a
female
romance
movie, and that's really what the females wanted to see who saw this movie. All right, then the guys who went to go see this was probably expecting something more along the lines of a Van Damme movie.
Yeah.
All right, and they didn't really get that. So it was trying to play it safe and go down the middle. And from what I remember, that did not get a very good reaction from the audience. Like you said, it didn't do well at the box office.
Yeah.
Which, you know. Money talks and bullshit walks. And at the time, this just wasn't appreciated. I remember it just kind of came and went real quick.
Yeah.
I remember people goofing on it.
Yeah. It was one, like I said, I think in hindsight it's a lot better. It stands out a lot more.
Over time.
Yeah, because in the 80s, I mean, I don't even know how many.
There were lots of these.
There were just countless, like, action movies. And a lot of them were, like, really generic and really forgotten.
Yeah.
So I think the reason this stands out is because it was doing something a little bit different, and also just because of the complete and utter ridiculousness of it, even though a lot of 80s action movies are kind of ridiculous in the same sort of way.
But, yeah, but they were good, man.
Yeah, well, I know. That's why they were good.
Yeah.
That's why they were good.
Yeah, I can watch...
I like ridiculous.
I can watch Commando a fucking, you know, once a week.
I've seen some people compare this to Commando in the same way that
it did have that same kind of tone.
That it has that same kind of tone to it, where it's just kind of like over the top and it doesn't even give a shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Commando doesn't have any real slow spots in it, per se. It's very linear. This one has romance scenes and shit, and they don't really have that. Commando didn't have that at all. Ray Dong Chong was in there, but there was no romantic scene.
Yeah, I barely remember her in it.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember she was in it.
She was in it so you could have a woman in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here we go. We'll just put her.
Yeah, you gotta have a woman.
Can't we just put a cardboard cutout of a woman in a movie? Do we have to have an actual woman? Do we have to, like, pay her?
Well, the men were also just a means to an end. Also, you know what I mean? All the male actors were just a means to an end. Also.
Well, yeah.
It was action movies were about watching Arnold Schwarzenegger with fucking
punching people out and shooting
people and shooting people. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, and he's gonna save his daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of some other, let's see, what other trivia was I going to mention on this? Oh, the band that plays in it. I mean, obviously a lot of the music and the band that's in there, like, behind fucking a wire mesh fence or plexiglass or whatever it is, that's the Jeff Healey band, and he is an actual Canadian musician. I think he might have passed away now, but I don't really want to say that definitively because I'm not really sure. But he is actually blind. He didn't, Tom didn't know that, but I, when we watched the movie. But yeah, so he was in this. He actually was pretty good in it. But there was also a band at the beginning, and it was actually the Cruzados. And I don't know if it was the whole band or I think just the singer of the Cruzados. That he was also in the band that was in From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because yeah, I thought he looked familiar, and then I was like, oh yeah, he was in that Tarantino
movie. All the band members and all the musical acts and everything, the musical numbers in the movie were kind of the attempt to make this movie really cool and relevant for its time.
Yeah.
It came off as kind of lame. I think it would come off as lame and generic even back then. If you looked at the people in the audience and the crowd, the bar crowd itself, you could tell that they were not wearing their own clothes.
Yeah.
It all looked fake.
Everybody had costumes on.
You can tell they were all costumes.
Well, I feel like that happened a lot in 80s movies, especially movies about, quote-unquote, gangs. Like, you know, like ones inspired by the Warriors.
Yeah.
It's like, obviously, those are not, I mean, those are obviously costumes.
Costumes, right.
Those are not their real clothes.
Everything's brand new.
Yeah.
Okay. Everything is brand new. Everything is, you could tell, was put together pretty quickly by somebody out in wardrobe.
Yeah.
You can, you know, it's
obvious. Like, here, this looks kind of punk rock. Put that on.
Yeah, yeah. It's just generic, man. But that added to the tone of a lot of these movies.
We're going to have to do like a whole, I want to do like a whole show about punk rockers as villains in 80s movies. Like bad punk
to
rockers.
To get that to look right, you had to know what you were doing, and it had to be very, the tone had to be very uniform. If the clothes are all brand new, the cars have to all be brand new. The interiors have to all be brand new. Or it just looks unrealistic. Why are all these people in brand new clothes in a used environment?
Yeah.
You know, in these old cars. It doesn't look right. It looks fake to me. But, you know.
And another thing, too, it's like if you're in some badass gang, even if you're like, you know, say robbing and killing people for money or selling drugs or whatever, you're not going to like use that money for new clothes. You're not gonna head down to the Macy's and like buy some new gang clothes. You're gonna buy drugs.
Yeah, yeah. They just never looked like the thugs that they were supposed to be.
Well, and I mean me and you too to a lesser extent. But I mean, you know, growing up sort of in the punk rock goth community, like in the 80s, it's like we just thought that was so funny because they just never got it right.
No, but
I didn't know anybody that really looked like
that. They
always
got the look wrong.
It was just always wrong. Now, I should note, too, that I didn't even know this, but Roadhouse had a sequel that came out.
What? A sequel to this?
In 2006. It came out direct to DVD.
Oh, man.
Jake fucking Busey was in it. He was the villain.
Oh, shit.
But it didn't have anybody, like, from the original cast. It's like, they mentioned Dalton, you know, Patrick Swayze's character, but they only mentioned him to say that, oh, he got shot before the movie started, and this is supposed to be, like, his son.
Okay.
And I think that the plot was pretty similar, like, you know what I mean? But I've never seen it, but if any of you have seen it, please tell me, because it sounds delightful.
It's gotta be bad.
It sounds delightful. Also,
Jake Busey's your draw.
he's a bad guy.
If he's the heavy.
Okay. He just goes like that with his teeth, and everybody just like keels over.
Although I liked him in Frighteners, I thought he was awesome in Frighteners.
I kind of love Jake Busey. Yeah. Well, like, I love Gary Busey too.
Wasn't Jake Busey in Nazis at the Center of the Earth? I think he was.
Oh yeah, I think he was. Yeah, he might have been. Now that you mention it,
yeah,
I know. I like that too. Is it on Netflix still? Or
I don't know. I got it on. Or I got it on. DVD
I know it's
Blu-ray.
On one of those things.
I got that on Blu-ray.
That's right. I forgot all about that you had bought that.
Yeah.
Here is my very favorite piece of trivia about Roadhouse, which I got from the Wikipedia page, and I didn't know this either. So in 2003, somebody actually made an off-Broadway musical of Roadhouse.
Shit. Oh, shit.
And the best thing, they did it as a comedy, and the best thing about it is the title, and this is the title, you guys. Roadhouse, the stage version of the cinema classic that starred Patrick Swayze, except this one stars Timok from the 80s cult classic The Last Dragon wearing a blonde mullet wig.
Damn.
That's the title. I'm like, that makes me so, so happy that somebody did that.
I don't think I want to see that.
That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
And the last bit of trivia was that apparently they were actually talking about remaking this because, you know, every movie gets around to somebody talking about remaking it somewhere at some time. So in 2015, they were talking about remaking this with Ronda Rousey as the lead, as I guess she was supposed to be a bouncer or whatever. And Nick Cassavetes was going to direct it. But apparently, didn't go nowhere. They did. They talked about it for about a year, and then it all fell through. So I guess they're not going to do it now. Although I imagine, like I said, they'll get around to it some time or other, because they get around to remaking every other movie. So, you know.
Yeah, well, we'll see. That was Roadhouse. It is a watchable movie.
Please, seriously, go on YouTube. It's probably on YouTube, I'm sure. And go look up MST3K, Let's Have a Patrick Swayze Christmas. It's their beautiful... It's actually a very nice Christmas song.
Okay.
And they wrote a whole... And the whole Christmas song, Let's Have a Patrick Swayze Christmas, is all about Roadhouse.
Oh, shit.
And it is very, very funny. And I play it every Christmas, because I watch the MST3K. It's the two Christmas episodes. I watch this every Christmas. All right, so... Hope you enjoyed this breakdown of Roadhouse. Thank you very much, Joseph E., for sending us the Blu-ray. We really did enjoy it with much liquor.
I was drinking most of it.
Well, yeah. I was too. as usual.
It's not a bad movie. It's an amusing movie of its era that it actually kind of got better with age.
Yeah.
Because of it's fucking ludicrous. And it is.
That's what I mean. That's why it's great, because it's ludicrous.
And it does have some testosterone filled moments. You know what I mean? Like, it is not PC at all. I was fucking laughing. I like it. It's kind of that for me. That was refreshing, because in the modern Me Too era, this comes off as really sexist, from what I remember.
It comes off very sexist,
but it's funny.
It is. But like I said, a lot of movies kind of were like that back then. Yeah. I mean, you know.
It was the times.
Yeah, exactly.
It was the times. And nobody took it seriously back then either. I was there.
Yeah, well,
like, people laughed at it back then.
Yeah, because it's just a stupid... I mean, it's a stupid
It's just
action.
Silly, yeah.
So. Yeah, so, you know. Anyway, so remember, if you enjoy the show, I guess we're not going to do all the plug at the end, but, you know, go to our Patreon page, go to our blog, 13oclockpodcast.wordpress.com.
Yeah, like the video.
Like, share, subscribe, do all the stuff that you normally do, and we will see you next time. Bye.